Everybody's moved to Vancouver and it's the greatest place on earth. No, wait. Everybody's leaving Vancouver and Vancouver is dying. These are both headlines that I see all over YouTube, and you can find people really arguing each point. But what's the truth? The reality is that every place has both pros and cons, and no place is absolutely perfect for everybody. But how would you navigate that if you don't know Vancouver? If you're thinking of moving here from somewhere else, this is a podcast that you really need to pay attention to, because I'm going to get into all of the super honest pros and cons of living in Vancouver from the perspective of somebody that's lived here over 50 years and has helped hundreds of families move here. So if you want to understand if this is the right city for you or not, let's find out together in this episode. Let's get into it right now. Sebastian Albrecht with the Living in Vancouver BC team. And I want to welcome back all those viewers that tune in every single week. So happy you're back with me. Thank you so much for being such loyal followers of this channel. And if you're new here, no issues there. You found the channel that you need if you're thinking about moving to Vancouver and you just want a deeper understanding of the city of Vancouver. I put out videos just like this one every single week, but this week we're covering an incredibly important topic. So many videos out there are either way too salesy about Vancouver or any other city, and then you have a whole bunch of videos that are really negative and perhaps drive home the negativity a little too hard. And that gets a lot of views, but honestly, I don't think it's truthful. I think the truth lies somewhere between those incredibly positive videos and those incredibly negative videos. But ultimately, you have to decide what's right for you. So my job here, my goal is just to be honest with you and explain what it's truly like living here, both on the good side as well as the bad side. So without further ado, I'm going to get into pro number one. In my opinion, and perhaps, well, I think pretty much most people that live here, one of the biggest pros that you're going to find about living in Vancouver is nature. And it surrounds you in so many ways, and it becomes a part of your lifestyle here in Vancouver. And it is, truthfully, what I find draws so many people from other parts of the world to Vancouver. Whether you live in London in the UK, or New York City, or Toronto, or Regina, perhaps, or Calgary, one of the big draws for so many people coming to Vancouver is the access to nature that you have in the city. And yeah, perhaps it's not the most perfect access or the most incredible access you're gonna see anywhere in the world. But generally, I find the people who are happiest here, one of the things that they really enjoy is how much nature can truly be a part of your life. And there's a bunch of reasons that it becomes an increasingly a big part of people's lives here. One would be, you know, having relatively mild weather that you can access nature at any time of year. Another would be that we're a big city, but we're not a massive city. So getting into nature is really easy. You can be where I am, right in the middle of the city, roughly in the Main Street area of the city of Vancouver. I can get into the mountains, into the deepest, darkest nature, and not be around a single other person. And it takes me about half an hour to drive up north and get into the North Shore Mountains. And I could, if I wanted to, absolutely disappear and not run into another human being for days, weeks, months, if I really wanted to. If I kept going north, there's really nothing up there. I mean, there are towns and things in the backwoods, but you can avoid hitting another human being. All you're going to find is nature. And really, it's untapped nature. You know, there's nothing going on. And I find when people come from other parts of the world, this is something that is truly amazing to them. So many Europeans come here and are amazed by the kind of nature and the fact that you can truly kind of disappear into that nature. Now, that makes it a little bit dangerous, right? There's parts of the North Shore that are really dangerous and you can die if you're not prepared. I mean, people die on trails in the North Shore Mountains all the time. So you need to be prepared. You need to know what you're doing when you go into that kind of nature. But what I'm talking about there is the mountains. But of course, we also have rivers that surround us, and we also have the ocean that surrounds us. So you can go hiking and skiing and rock climbing, that kind of nature. But you could also go into the ocean, go swimming, perhaps do a triathlon, go sailing, kayaking, paddleboarding, whatever kind of ocean water sports you want to enjoy. You're going to be able to find them here in Metro Vancouver. And on top of the mountains and the ocean, we're surrounded in pretty much every corner of Metro Vancouver, but especially in the city of Vancouver, by parks. And there's, as an example, a park park half a block away from me that I take my little kids up to after school. And I was going to say before school, but that never actually happens. They would like to, but we never have time for that. We go after school or on the weekends, and the whole community comes out to these parks. And there's little parks like that that are at the size of a block or half a city block. But there's also bigger parks, like there's Riley Park, there's Queen Elizabeth Park, there's Trout Lake. And then there's also the much better known parks like Stanley Park as an example, or Central Park over in Burnaby. These are parks where you are in nature very quickly. And there are parts of Stanley Park where you can pretty much disappear. And that can be a little bit scary, but you can also just stay on the outside of it where we have access to the seawall. And so this is a place, because of that access to the outdoors, because of that access to nature, people tend to be a lot healthier and happier. And that's a really important, vibrant part of people's lives when they live in Vancouver. So I'm going to bounce back between pros and cons. Can't give you all the positives and overwhelm you with all those positives. I want to sort of balance this video out a bit. And so let's get into con number one. The thing that I hear people probably, well, there's lots of things people complain about Vancouver, but perhaps one of the biggest things and the things that you really need to gird yourself for and prepare yourself for is the rain and the dark and the wetness and the cold that we can have in Vancouver. Now, I do find this is really subjective. This really does depend on where you're coming from. And I think when people come from places that don't have as much rain and are brighter, and I'm thinking of you, Prairie Provinces of Canada. So if you're coming from Calgary, if you're coming from Regina, if you're coming from Winnipeg, this could be a bit of an issue for you because yes, we do get rain, but our rain is pretty much concentrated in the winter months, sort of from November until March. We get most of our rainfall in those months. And of course, being in the Northern Hemisphere, we also have little sun in the winter months. And so the sun can set around, I don't know, 4:30 at the peak of winter, and it might only rise around 7 a.m. at peak winter. So there's a lot of the day, or actually it's a bit later than that, I think. Anyways, you don't get nearly as much sun because of us being in the Northern Hemisphere in the middle of winter. But on top of that, because of the cloud cover that we can have, the days can kind of feel sullen and gray. And this is in particular in the winter months. Now, the summer is very different. And as I film this, it is the beginning of July, and I was just away for a few days on Vancouver Island enjoying some amazing summer weather. And I just got a message from a longtime viewer earlier this morning. He's here now in Vancouver and he was like, cancel our plans to meet at an indoor restaurant. Let's go outside because this weather is amazing. And late spring and early fall can still be really, really spectacular. But there is a really strong divergence between what you can experience in Vancouver in the summer and what you can experience in the winter. But to be honest, that's kind of Canada, right? That's part of living in the Northern Hemisphere. In Vancouver, most of the people that truly enjoy being here sort of are willing to give up the cold and the snow and the sleet and that bitter cold that you can find in cities like Winnipeg or Toronto or Ottawa or Montreal, and having warmer temperatures in the winter months, but having more rain. And so you have to be willing to make that trade-off if you're coming here. Now, having said that it is darker and wetter in our winter months, I also have to say that the kind of rain that we have isn't really torrential downpours. You know, if you think of what you might experience in Hawaii or in Houston or in Miami, when it rains there, they have torrential downpours that you can't leave home without protecting yourself from that rainfall. Here in Vancouver, a lot of times the kind of rainfall we have is fairly light, and we kind of get drizzles a lot of the time. And those days where it rains 2 millimeters in that day, spread over 24 hours, that's a rainy day in Vancouver. And as those accumulate, we do have, on average, more rainy days than just about anywhere in Canada. But the amount of rain that we get, that cumulative amount, we have a lot of days where we have just a little bit of rain, and not a lot of days where we find really heavy torrential downpours. And so you can really survive in Vancouver just with a good solid rain jacket. And a lot of Vancouverites barely even put up their hood. They're really just not going to need it. And a lot of, I've said this before, and it's turned out to be a controversial statement, but I find, having grown up here, a lot of the people that have lived in this city for a very long time and have grown up in this city actually don't use an umbrella. They're kind of annoying, and you bump into other people and you're probably going to lose it. You're probably going to forget it somewhere. So really, all you need to do is get a good rain jacket, turn up the hood. And yes, there are going to be some days where you'd probably prefer to have an umbrella, but those days are relatively rare in comparison to many other places. So this is a con, just be aware of it. But I think there's a whole lot of context that you have to understand about this con, about the rain and the dark. I'm going to jump back to a pro now, and that's our mild climate. We're going to keep talking about weather, but it really is one of the things that is pretty amazing about Vancouver. And I think the people who live here for a really long time kind of forget how much of a pro it is to have a really mild climate. We don't get winters that are too extreme. We do have winter. We do get snow. It often doesn't stick. I've used this example before. When I was a kid, my parents would wake me up in the middle of the night if it was snowing so that I could actually see that the snow was out there and maybe even go out and play in that snow, because it probably wouldn't be on the ground anymore by the time I was going to school in the morning. Now, in recent years, we've had a little bit more snow, as far as I recall, in the last few years. I have lots of pictures of my kids out in snow and frolicking in the snow, but we rarely get down to below -5. It does depend where in Metro Vancouver you are, but in the city of Vancouver, it rarely falls below -5. Was it last year? It was last year or the year before where we had temperatures around -15 for a single day. And I actually went out and I filmed that day. And I remember my face feeling frozen. I couldn't smile on camera because I couldn't do any, it was like I had, not that I know, but it felt like I had Botox all over my face. I just couldn't react in any way. And that is a very unnatural experience in Vancouver. You know, it's not like Winnipeg in the middle of winter. It's not like Regina in the middle of winter or most other Canadian cities. And the same is true in the opposite season. It's in the middle of summer. It really doesn't get excessively hot. I was in Toronto in July last year, and I remember I needed to go out and grab something from a local drugstore just before my conference started. And I was like, oh, I looked at the map and it was a 10-minute walk. I thought, no problem. It was 8:30 in the morning. I just went outside the door and I immediately started sweating. It was so muggy and humid. That is not an experience that you're going to have in Vancouver. It took me like 3 hours just to stop sweating, even though it was a 10-minute walk there and a 10-minute walk back. And that's how uncommon, that's how little my body is accustomed to that kind of humidity and heat. In Vancouver, most of the summer, we have temperatures that just kind of hover in the mid to low 20s. They get up towards the high 20s, but rarely are we going to break 30. There's usually about a week every year, and the amount of time has increased in recent years, although not last year and not so far this year, where we spend a little more time in those 30 degree temperatures. There was a couple years ago where it was maybe 2 weeks of the year was in the 30s, and I actually finally, after 50 years in the city, I finally had an air conditioner. I finally bought an air conditioner, mainly because I had two little babies in the house and I felt guilty. They couldn't really take care of themselves. They couldn't cool themselves. They couldn't complain about it. So I finally caved and got an air conditioning unit. But you know, that's the reality of living in Vancouver, that most people don't actually have air conditioning. More and more people are finding that, are prioritizing that in recent years, because we found that things have gotten a little bit warmer. And sure, it's nice to manage your comfort, and the cost of air conditioning or cooling systems has decreased significantly. So that has become more common. But the main point here, the main thing that you need to understand, is an incredibly mild climate. It doesn't get extreme. And it also doesn't get extreme in sort of the types of climate catastrophes that you might be exposed to. We don't get massive amounts of flooding. We're not having massive fires typically in Vancouver, I should point out. And we don't live in an area that's really subjected to kind of environmental crises. The worst thing that you're going to find, and it's starting to happen right now, and it's increasingly in the summer months, that we need to be worried a little bit about forest fires, but they don't put Vancouver itself at risk. I mean, this is too much of a densely populated, essentially concrete jungle. So the forest fires don't really get close. But unfortunately, it is something that a lot of people in the southwestern portions of our province have to be worried about and have to realize is a risk. The main thing you do need to be worried about, the biggest environmental issue that you could be concerned with really in this area, are earthquakes. And that is something, you know, we are in that ring of fire, in that Pacific ring of fire, that areas like Sydney or Auckland or Hong Kong also have to contend and worry about, San Francisco as well. But you know, that's not something that we're really concerned about every day. On the whole, this is a really peaceful, gentle place to live, where you don't really have to contend with Mother Nature in the way that you have to in so many other parts of the world. All right, con number two is perhaps the thing that's at the forefront of most people's mind, and that's the cost of housing. Housing is a real challenge in Metro Vancouver. Whether you're owning or renting, this is a place where both of these things are really expensive and quite challenging. Even though in the last few years, right now it's the summer of 2025, things have slowed down considerably and the market is weaker both for purchasing and for renting than it has been for a very long time. So this is perhaps one of the opportune moments for somebody moving here to either get a long-term rental or to purchase a home. You have opportunities. You have a little more control, a little more power. Prices are down somewhat. I think from its peak, you're looking at housing prices for the most part, maybe about 5% below where they were at their peak, depending on the kind of housing and exactly where and what you're buying. And in terms of rentals, you're looking at about 10% below peak at the moment. But really, the thing that you're able to do at this very specific point in time is have the ability to negotiate, have the ability to take your time and find the right property. Something that so many people in the last 20, 25 years in the city of Vancouver have not been able to do. And so that's a realization that's perhaps coming from other market is difficult to understand, but there is opportunity right now. Having said that, this is still an expensive market, and this is most likely a much more expensive market and perhaps a much more competitive market than where you're coming from right now. And so you do have to understand that you're going to be spending more money to live in the city of Vancouver than you are pretty much anywhere else. And so for most people that are happiest living here, they understand that. And they're willing to make that compromise. They're willing to give up on space or perhaps quality and perhaps pay a little more and get all of the positives, all of the pros of living here as a result that they prioritize rather than live somewhere else. And yes, you can live in Saskatchewan, you can live in Saskatoon as an example and pay, I don't know, 1/10 of the cost of housing in Vancouver, but it is a trade-off. It's a very different lifestyle. If that's not a trade-off you're going to make, it not willing to make, then of course it's not going to seem worthwhile to you. But the people who do end up here and the people who are happiest here realize that that's a trade-off that for them is worthwhile. Having said this about how much it costs to live here, there are variations in Metro Vancouver. So living right at the center of Vancouver where everything is densest. And on that topic, Vancouver is one of the most densely populated cities in all of North America. It's fourth behind New York City, San Francisco, and Mexico City. And the downtown core of Vancouver is the second most densely populated area in the Americas between the United States and Canada with 18,000 people per square kilometer. So this is an intensely densely populated city, which is why land costs so much money. But you don't have to live at the center of the city. If that is a concern for you, you don't have to pay $3.5 million for a house right in the west side of Vancouver, which is some of the most expensive real estate in the entire country. There are less expensive parts of Metro Vancouver that you can find better value if you are willing to make that trade-off. And that trade-off is moving further out, having a longer commute perhaps, and living in an area that isn't so densely populated, doesn't have such high demand for living. And in an area like Mission, instead of paying $3.5 million, you might just be paying $1 million. And in an area like downtown Vancouver, you might be paying $900,000 for a condo, but you might move to Surrey where you could buy a similar condo for $550,000. There's immense variation around Metro Vancouver. You don't need to live in the most expensive parts, but that is what sort of drives up the average cost. And that's what sort of drives the headlines as well. So of course, if you are thinking of moving here, and especially if you're thinking of buying a home, don't forget that I'm a real estate agent that has helped hundreds of families do exactly what you're trying to do. If you want help finding the right neighborhood and finding the right home and you're ready to buy, then there's three different ways you can reach me. One, you can call or text at 604-831-4837. You could email me at sebastian@albrechtgroup.ca, or you can book a conversation with me directly at calendly.com/albrechtgroup. For now, we are going back to the podcast. Pro number three is the diversity of the city. And Vancouver is a place that has people from everywhere around the world. And that's not going to be unusual if you're coming from Toronto, if you're coming from Berlin, or you're coming from New York City. But it is pretty different if you're coming here from other parts of Canada, perhaps Halifax or perhaps Edmonton as an example. The diversity is going to surprise you. And most people that live in Vancouver weren't actually born here. Myself, in my generation being 50 years old, in most groups of people, if I walk into a party and there's, say, 25 people there, more than likely I am the only person that was actually born and raised in the city of Vancouver. Most of my friends and relatives have moved out of the city or moved on for other opportunities over my lifetime. But as a result, what we have is a really interesting city in many different ways. But because we have so many people, in my view, from different backgrounds, we have an openness to differences that is unusual for a lot of the world these days. It feels like a lot of the world is sort of closing itself off. Vancouver is still one of those places that is fairly open. And yes, some people can view that as a negative. Some people may not like the kind of viewpoints that people have that are open and relatively left-leaning. But personally, it is something that I see as a massive pro of living in Vancouver. So as a result, this is a place that people are really open to differences amongst people. And that doesn't mean necessarily where you come from or what you look like or what language you speak. It could also be the religion that you hold or the values that you have, the sexual preferences that you have. These are all things that people in Vancouver are not necessarily as judgmental as they might be in other parts of the world. And that's something that personally, I feel really proud of this city. And it's not to say, you know, and I'm waffling a little bit here, but you know, I do realize that I am a white middle-aged male, come to this viewpoint with a certain degree of privilege. And I completely admit that and agree with that. But in my experience and talking to a lot of different people and dealing with a lot of different people, people come to Vancouver and feel welcome and happiest here when they might not feel that way in the communities that they're coming from. So, you know, people from an LGBTQ background or a particular religious background or a political slant can come to Vancouver and find their people. And it might not be the center of the city. It might be in a community surrounding the city. And I do want to point out, you know, as much as I'm talking about this diversity and this openness, that, you know, generally that sort of speaks to people a little more on the left-leaning spectrum politically, but that there is also communities throughout Metro Vancouver that lean further right. And so you don't have to feel like because of this diversity that you won't be welcome no matter what your political views are. There are communities throughout Metro Vancouver that lean in one direction or the other. And you can find your people really no matter who you are in Metro Vancouver. And that is something that honestly, I'm quite proud of. I love this city quite a bit. I love the diversity of this city and the openness of it. All right, going back to the cons, we're going to talk a little bit about a couple of things that deal with people with families. So if you have kids, whether they're young or older, this is a topic that you want to pay attention to because anything to do with kids in Vancouver can be challenging. They're very expensive. This is an expensive city. After all, the land is very expensive. And so anything that has to do with caring for children can be a challenge. And that starts with getting them into school. And some schools are incredibly oversubscribed. The planning for schools in Vancouver hasn't been at the forefront of the government's mind. And so there's a little too much density that happened too quickly and families staying in areas that they didn't expect them to stay. That means that you may not be able to get into the school in the catchment that you want to get into. And that is important, especially if you're moving here from somewhere else. And this is most important with very young children. It becomes a little easier as the kids get older, but it is really difficult with somebody going into kindergarten, as an example, because the caps on those classrooms are quite small. Now, the saving grace is that in Vancouver, you're never more than 1.6 kilometers away from an elementary school. And so this isn't a crisis. This isn't the worst thing that's ever going to happen, because if you don't get into the school that's three blocks from you, you're going to get into the school that's maybe 12 blocks from you, right? It's still going to be a pretty close school. You don't have to drive to the next town over to get your kids to their elementary school. But just be aware that it can be an issue getting kids into schools, and it is also an issue getting kids into daycares. And this is an increasing problem. The cost of daycares is not what I would say the biggest issue any longer, because we do have government subsidies that bring down the cost of most daycares. But the issue is getting into a daycare, and especially because we have an increasing number of $10 a day daycare spots, they are even more contested than they used to be. So it's an incredible challenge to get into a daycare. And I know people often say to me, well, it's very similar in my own community. I agree, it is an issue in many communities, but in very few is it as intense as it is here in Vancouver because of the density that we have, and also because of the red tape involved in licensing a daycare. It is really, really hard to license a daycare. And side point, everybody who has young children and tries to get them into a daycare starts to think, ah, I have a business idea. I'm going to open my own daycare. I talked to so many parents with that idea. The reason that we don't have more is really because of the amount of red tape involved and the cost of opening a daycare. It is crazy. And the result is we have very, very few spots available. Just realize when you come here, it's going to be really, really hard for you to get a spot in daycare. And even when you just start thinking about moving to Vancouver, you should start applying to daycares. Start applying to dozens and dozens of them and be the squeaky wheel. Keep sending them reminders and asking them, where am I on the waiting list? list. If you do that, that will give you a big leg up on getting into a daycare here. But beyond schools and daycares, this is an issue for any kind of programming for children. Getting them into swimming lessons or ballet or gymnastics or soccer programs, it can be really, really tough. And to some degree, it can be like a contact sport trying to get your kids consistently into programs. And then on top of that, they can be incredibly expensive. And once again, land and real estate is expensive. So that cost that those businesses incur get passed on to you. So just be ready for that. It can be, this is a great place to have children, but there's some parts of having kids in Vancouver that make it pretty challenging. Pro number four, and I really honestly enjoy doing these pros much more than the cons, but pro number four are the neighborhoods of Vancouver. And for me, the neighborhoods of Vancouver are one of the big reasons that I couldn't see myself ever leaving this city. This city is filled with really individual, interesting, dynamic neighborhoods that if you live in them, you never have to leave them if you don't want to. And they cater to really different people. So you could be born, live, go to school, work, and eventually die in the same neighborhood in Vancouver. And many, many people do. But that could be true of, let's say, Kitsilano. You might think Kitsilano is the greatest neighborhood ever. But then there's people who live in Marpole who hate Kitsilano and think Kitsilano is the worst neighborhood ever. Not a lot of them, I have to admit. Kitsilano is one of those neighborhoods that most people find it pretty hard to dislike. But then there's, you know, Main Street, which has a totally different vibe from Marpole. And then there's, let's say, Commercial Drive, or there's Strathcona, or there's the West End, or there's Lower Lonsdale over in North Vancouver, or there's Steveston and Richmond. These are all really fantastic neighborhoods for different types of people. And understanding what one appeals to you and which one you'd feel most at home at is pretty complicated. It's tough to know from people on the outside. And when people talk about them, the people that you're listening to usually only tell you all the best parts about it. But these neighborhoods are so fascinating and so interesting because they've sort of developed over time naturally. Our city did not develop an inner city highway system. It was the only North American city of its size or greater that did not develop an inner city highway. We started to do it, but then the citizens basically rose up in protest and prevented the construction and the destruction of the old city and have allowed it to continue to grow and allowed these neighborhoods to continue to be their own individual spaces that at this point are one of the biggest pros of living in this city. So we live in a city where you don't necessarily need a car. These neighborhoods are well connected. You can live within them. You can live in that sort of that idea of the 15-minute city where everything, whether it's your school or your bank or parks or groceries or whatever it is that you need, are all within easy walking distance. And where I am on Main Street in Vancouver, that's the way it is for me. But that's not the only place. It could be Kitsilano, it could be Fairview, it could be Edgemont Village in North Vancouver. All of these spaces have that similar appeal just for different types of people and different price points. And again, this is where working with the realtor who understands the diversity of neighborhoods, the diversity of opportunities, and tries to understand what's going to be the best fit for you is really, really important. And of course, I'm going to put up my contact information right there on the screen. I'm a realtor. I can help you do that. If you're thinking of moving here and buying a home, I can help you find the right fit. But more than that, it's just really important for you to understand how wonderful this city can be. It can also, these neighborhoods, if you find the wrong fit, that could become a really big con of living here where you just don't fit into the place that you've chosen to live in. So another big con of living in Vancouver that you need to be aware of, and you're probably aware of this already, is crime. The thing is, this is also something that you need to understand a little bit deeper, and you need to understand the context. I get into this argument, or have gotten into this argument, on YouTube a fair amount, where people take a different position than the way that I see it. But from my perspective, yes, the city does have an issue around homelessness, is sort of linked to drug addiction and mental illness as well. But ultimately, it all funnels down to crime being higher here than in many other places. But the crime that you're going to experience is really petty crime. People who are down and out, trying to get their next fix of drugs, they're going to do whatever they can to try and get that. And the way they go about it is by stealing things generally. And so there's areas of our city that are closest to the downtown east side generally, where this is more of an issue than in other parts of our community. And there's some parts of Vancouver where you would never notice this being an issue at all. And that's something you really need to understand when you're moving here, that again, this city is relatively small, it's relatively dense, and these problems problems, especially this issue around homelessness and crime, is for the most part concentrated in a few city blocks in the downtown east side. And it will be shocking and disturbing and startling when you go down there and you experience that. But it is very much isolated into those areas and the areas that are sort of immediately surrounding. So an area like Strathcona or perhaps in the downtown peninsula, even in the West End, and the areas just surrounding that are where the concentrations of this problem are going to be highest. Not to say that you're not going to see it at all elsewhere, but I can tell you, I live roughly 30 blocks directly south of the downtown east side. The homelessness crisis, the drug addiction crisis that we face in the city, and the high crime does not touch me in the community that I live in. And you would have no idea that it exists if I did not basically drive downtown and see it firsthand. So I think that's a really important understanding to have. You should also realize, I find a lot of people, we talk about the downtown east side and how much of an issue it is. That does not mean that all of downtown should be avoided. It also does not mean that all of East Vancouver should be avoided. And the epicenter is at Main and Hastings. That's the core of the downtown east side. That does not mean that you should avoid all of Main Street and all of Hastings, because there's parts of both streets and there's a lot of East Vancouver that are fantastic areas to live where you would never notice or be barely touched by the issues that we have around homelessness and crime. But there are parts of the city, having said all that, where you should be a little more aware of your surroundings. There's nowhere that I personally am afraid to go. There's nowhere I'm not going to be raped or mugged or carjacked in Vancouver. I can walk right in the middle of the downtown east side and I feel fairly comfortable. I'm going to be paying pretty close attention to what's going on around me. I'm not just going to put earbuds in and put a hood over my head and not pay attention, because then maybe you might run into something that you're not wanting to run into. But on the whole, when I'm on the downtown east side, people leave you alone. They don't want trouble. They're trying to get through the day. You know, they're struggling moment to moment, day to day, and they don't want to bother with you. You're not part of their community. And what I see when I go to the downtown east side is that there is a community there. You know, they look out for one another. They know one another, and they know when somebody's trying to cause trouble and when somebody's not. And so for the most part, if you mind your own business, it's not an area you really need to worry about. The other area where I'd be a little more aware of my surroundings is also on the Granville Strip, sort of the entertainment district of the downtown core. And day to day, again, probably not the biggest issue. An area where I probably would just pay a little more attention. But on weekend evenings, like a Friday night, a Saturday night, that can be an area where things happen, where young men in particular who've been drinking and might be looking for trouble, that's kind of where they're going to be looking to do that. And so, yeah, maybe I'd avoid it on a Saturday night. And perhaps if I was there, I'm just going to be paying much closer attention to what's going on. But honestly, cops are everywhere and very little gets out of hand. When I talk about crime, though, somebody always brings up very specific incidents as well. What about this time when there was a shooting, or that time when there was somebody who got randomly stabbed? And yeah, those things do happen. I'm not pretending they don't exist or happen. We live in a region with nearly 3.5 million people, and there are people who are nuts and do ridiculous, crazy things. And that is a risk of living in a place like this. It probably, because of that concentration of people, it is going to be a risk of living in such a densely populated place as opposed to a much smaller place and a place where people aren't as close together. And if they are, they're spending a lot less time close together. So yeah, those things do happen, but I don't see it as being a pandemic, as being an issue that, you know, means this city is at a crisis point. These are things that happen in big cities, unfortunately. And today, because of drugs, because of stress, because of mental illnesses, these are things that are part of the dynamic of a bigger city. And you can entirely avoid that risk just by not going to these areas at times when these things are going to be a little more prevalent. My last big pro for Vancouver is really that this is, or can be, the perfect city. It's this Goldilocks effect, this perfect balance between big and small, between urban and nature. And I find people who are happiest here, that's kind of what they're searching for. They haven't found it elsewhere. And then they come to Vancouver and they realize this is the spot. So in terms of big city, I mean, this is a region, the Lower Mainland has 3.5 million people. Metro Vancouver, 3 million people. The city of Vancouver, just 800,000, which surprises a lot of people. So we do have all of the things that come with a regional center, right? This big city. So you have a fantastic fantastic international airport so that if you want to go somewhere else, you can get there, right? You have really quick and relatively inexpensive access to Asia, to Europe, to other parts of North America, and of course down south as well for those winter getaways away from the rain and the dark, which I think is honestly kind of important and is important for so many people in Canada. But we also then have tons of concerts, tons of events, tons of festivals that go on in Vancouver because of all the people that are here. And it's rare, as an example, that you have big concerts, big musical acts or comedians that come to Canada and they miss Vancouver. Yeah, there's a few that will only go to Toronto, but if they're crossing the border, they're making that effort, then usually they do a West Coast appearance in Vancouver and one in Toronto. And increasingly, what I found is that's what a lot of those musical acts are doing. And they're just going into Vancouver and they're only going to Toronto. And they're finding, because people will want that excuse to come to Vancouver. Vancouver is the draw that adds to the show. So people in Regina and Winnipeg and Calgary and Edmonton and Kelowna will come to Vancouver to see that musical act or whoever it happens to be, or that sporting event. And more, increasingly, Vancouver has that draw because of that big city effect. And then, of course, don't forget our food scene. And some people might put our food scene as a big pro of Vancouver. I think a lot of it has to come from our diversity. How many people are coming here from everywhere else in the world with their own tastes and their own interests and their own talent? And so we have amazing food and restaurant scene here in Vancouver. And all in all, it's not the most expensive. For the quality that you get, you know, generally the value is pretty high. Yeah, there are some places you can go where you can blow your monthly salary in one night. Not that hard. I think my wife and I were out. It was my birthday not that long ago. So she took me to a very nice restaurant and we found on the wine list, we were perusing the wine list and there was a bottle of wine on that wine list that was $20,000. Not for me. We didn't open that, no matter how important that birthday was. But yes, you know, you can spend crazy amounts of money in Vancouver if you want to. Now, on that small town side, there's tons of the positives that we have because we're still, as I said, city of Vancouver is only 800,000 people. As a result, people in Vancouver are still friendly. You don't have that real big city attitude like you might in a city like New York City, and where people are really closed off. People want to help. They're friendly. If they recognize that you need help, if you're not from around those parts, there are people who are going to step in and be incredibly friendly. And yes, there can be a little more challenge in Vancouver getting beyond that friendliness and making real connections with people. I admit that. That is one of the challenges of this city. But on the whole, you're going to find this is like a small town where people are just kind of open and friendly and wanting to help. This is also a safe city. So as much as we were just talking about crime, that crime isn't generally sort of going to put you at risk. And your bike might get stolen, your car might get broken into, or stuff, your barbecue could be stolen off your balcony in the West End, but you are not going to get hurt. Right? And that is something that, or you're highly unlikely to be hurt, I should say. That is not necessarily the experience that a lot of people have in other parts of the world and in cities of our size and bigger. So still, this city, as big as it is still an incredibly safe place. And then also, commuting can be relatively easy. Yeah, we have issues around traffic, and that could be a con of living here. But we also have an increasingly diverse way of getting from one point to another. We got the SkyTrain, we have West Coast Express, we have Uber, we have Lyft, we have car share, we have bike share, we have scooter share now even. And this place is still incredibly walkable. This is a small geographic area. So getting around using alternatives to cars is a real option here where it may not be in some other places that you're moving from. And then of course you have that perfect blend of urban and nature. And so yeah, you got the concerts, you got the restaurants, you have the nightlife, and none of it is absolutely out of this world extraordinary because we have some limitations because we are still a relatively small city, but you do get all those urban benefits. And on top of that, the shopping and the cafes and the walkability. But then you also have nature at your doorstep, and it's world-class nature. You have Whistler not that far away. You have the ferries that can take you to the Sunshine Coast or onto the Gulf Islands or to Vancouver Island. You can head south into the United States if you are so inclined. And both in and out of the city, you have access to this nature. So within the city, you have the multitude of small parks and the more known parks like the Endowment Lands at UBC or Stanley Park out in the West End and the downtown core. But of course, all of the parks, all of the nature that absolutely surrounds us, and particularly to the north and to the west of the city. So that nature is so readily and easily accessible. That is really unusual for a city of our size. And all of it really within a 30-minute distance. So again, the point I'm making is that Vancouver has this really perfect balance between big and small, between urban and nature, that can be really challenging to find if that's what you want. Now we're going to move on to the last con that I have for you, and that's a lack of economic opportunity. And yeah, to some degree, I agree with this. Vancouver is a place where it can be a little more challenging to make money, and money comes a little bit harder. And this can be pretty scary for someone who's moving here from somewhere else and understanding that you're going to be paying more for housing than just about anywhere else, and that you might not be earning as much as anywhere else. And as expensive as Vancouver is, I think one of the things you need to understand is that most employers aren't going to pay you extra to work here. They understand that Vancouver is enough of a draw. If you want to move here, you're going to move here no matter how much they're going to pay you. So they're not going to pay you sort of a high cost of living bonus, more than likely, as they might in Toronto, as an example, or they might in Los Angeles. When you come to Vancouver, you are not going to be offered a bonus to be living here. And then the other thing to understand is that one of the reasons that we typically have a lower average income in Vancouver is that we don't have a high low end of income. In other parts of Canada in particular, you know, where you have a greater amount of manufacturing as you might in some areas of Southern Ontario, or where you have a lot of oil and gas employment as you would in Alberta, you don't have to have a high level of education or experience to get a pretty well-paying job. You can be making six figures in those places pretty quickly, or perhaps right away. In Vancouver, we don't have that. That doesn't exist. So as a result, if you move here without an education or without a lot of skills, you're more than likely only going to have minimum wage jobs at your disposal. So you might be working at a gas station or at a Tim Hortons as you try and get started here. If you move here with a career, with skills and education, there's pretty much just as much opportunity here in Vancouver as there are in most other cities. And we do have a very well diversified economy. And where more people make money than in other areas, it would be in areas like law, it would be in healthcare, technology, and real estate. Generally, those are kind of the highest paying areas that you're going to find in Metro Vancouver. But there's lots of opportunity in all kinds of industry. And so you do have to seek it out. This is also a place where a lot of people are self-employed. And there are opportunities to be self-employed and sort of an environment where there's a lot of excitement around that and a lot of people cooperating in that sphere and being creative in the ways that they make money. But this isn't, you know, if you really purely are just looking to make money starting out, then a place like Calgary or, I don't know, London, Ontario may be better suited to you. And, you know, really, if you're just looking for the best economic opportunity, not a lot in Canada can beat what happens in Toronto and the kind of opportunity that exists there. That definitely isn't. We don't compete with that. There is opportunity, but you do have to sort of find your own way and establish it. There's a lot of money in Vancouver and there's a lot of people doing really, really well. They've just found how to do it in a city like Vancouver. It's not as obvious. You need to peek and under the cover and drive yourself to get there. But if you are continuing, you've gone through all those pros and you've gone through all those cons, and you're still thinking that Vancouver is the right place for you, and you're actually thinking of buying a home as you and your family move here, well, don't forget, I am a real estate agent that has helped hundreds of families do exactly what you're trying to do. I help families find the right neighborhood, find the right fit amongst all the diversity that we have here in Vancouver, and then also find the right home. And I can help you and your family do exactly that. There's three different ways you can reach me. One, you can call or text at 604-831-4837. You could email me at sebastian@albrechtgroup.ca, or you can book a conversation with me directly at calendly.com/albrechtgroup. Feel free to reach out anytime. There's never going to be any pressure. And if you're not quite ready to do that, and you still want to do a bunch of research yourself, well, I have you covered for that as well. At this point, I have over 125 videos all about living in and moving to Vancouver. So no matter the topic, whatever you might want to understand more deeply, there's a video for you. Be sure to explore my entire back catalog of videos, because I'm sure there's stuff in there that you're going to want to know more about. Thank you so much, and I'll see you next week.